ये इंटरनेशनल गेम है, इसमें दिमाग से खेला जाता है, गुस्से से नहीं।
Hello everybody and welcome to episode 7 of Hoop Darshan.
Hoop Darshan.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to be in episode 7 because 7 is the jersey number that I wear on all of my basketball jerseys. What's up, Karan? How's it going?
Well, Kaushik, thanks for having me on. And I'm just going to go ahead and guess, since we're both Madrid fans, that it didn't to the great Raul.
Yep, absolutely. Raul is indeed the reason why I wear number 7. And while I would like to talk as much as possible about Raul, this is unfortunately a basketball podcast. And it is 31st May in like most parts of the world, but over here where I am, it just turned into 1st of June. But that means that we're only, 6 days from the NBA Finals, and I think we're going to talk a lot about the NBA Finals because that's we are as excited as ever for the NBA Finals, and we'll have a little bit of a discussion on what's happening with BFI, and some really really amazing listener questions as well. But before all of that, Karan, are you excited for the finals?
I'm excited, but you know, the 1,000 years finished between that much of my fossil remains will be here. It's so long, the gap between the end of the finals and you know, then I think we're still, as you said, 5 days away. So it's interesting to do previews now, but things could change.
Right. What did you make of both the Cleveland's win over Atlanta and Golden State's win over Houston? Don't you feel like the series was like a little underwhelming?
Yeah, I feel that these playoffs have been underwhelming, you know, especially how things were the last few years. I think in my opinion, for the classic Spurs series in the first round and the truth himself, Mr. Paul Pierce, I don't think these playoffs so many. I know that the Bulls Cavs series had a couple of game winners. Really, so far, it's relatively one sided for the finals, the Warriors and the Cavs. So I'm hoping that the Titans then, you know, gives us that we need.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually think that we have a very intriguing matchup between Golden State and Cavaliers. And while Golden State has had such an impressive season, I actually think that Cleveland Cavaliers and Golden State is a pretty legit matchup for finals. And since this episode is going to be primarily focused on NBA finals, we also have a special guest. And I think this guest is a little more special for you, Karan, than for me. Can you tell us who this special guest is?
Definitely. I've my older brother to be our guest that talk about NBA. He's an NBA fan in India that I've ever. And he's very opinionated. He's hilarious with his commentary, and I think he'll be the perfect person for us to discuss our finals preview. Great idea of how we hope to preview these finals.
We are glad to have Harsh Madhu, Karan's brother. Harsh, how are you doing?
Good. How are you, Kaushik?
All good here. Harsh, I wanted to ask, you're the older brother, yeah?
Yes, 4 years. I mean, I always, always have that edge over Karan, you know, me and Karan. So we just, you know, always have that edge.
I must say, let my brother by saying he's one of the reasons why I became such a big NBA fan. He's like an old Indian NBA fan. Probably the LeBron fan in the world.
Oh, really? The biggest LeBron fan?
Yeah. I would say the LeBron fan in the world, number 3 on the list. Number 2 is, of course, LeBron himself. And number 1 is Brandon Dorsch from ESPN.
No. Karan, I think you're wrong. Number 1 is the dude from The Vine. The dude who says, LeBron James, LeBron James.
Oh, yeah.
LeBron James.
That's the dude. So Harsh, why did you make this epic mistake of supporting LeBron
A mistake, yeah.
So
Yeah, it was not a mistake at all. I mean, Kaushik, it was just he, me and Karan, we've been following. I think Karan, it was 98 when we started following basketball, right around the time when Jordan was in his last year.
That's when we got really serious about it, you know.
And then LeBron came on, like he came in 2003. So I think the hype started to build really early. Like I think it was 2001 when the hype started to build on LeBron James.
Yep.
And then I think we just rode the
LeBron
back.
James.
LeBron James.
Yeah, you've been following him from like high school years, right? Like you were very closely, like you had heard the hype about him when he was 16 years old.
Yeah, Sonny Vaccaro. I think that's the guy. He was the real
Sonny
the Hoops
Vaccaro,
analyst. He was a Hoops analyst. He was the one who really hyped him up back in the day. And I think from that time it was just I think people just fell on. That was it. Yeah.
So it's pretty safe to say you're gonna, you know, root for Cleveland in this NBA Finals.
Taking my talents back to Cleveland from Miami.
It's pretty safe to say he was rooting for Miami the last 4 years too. So.
Not a bandwagon.
That is not surprising and not uncommon either. I have my wife, who's like very close by to me right now. If she hears this, she's probably gonna kill me. But she's one of those option C bandwagoners who went from Miami to Cleveland the day LeBron jumped. But I mean, that's completely understandable, I suppose. But we are here today in this podcast to talk about the NBA Finals. So Harsh, Karan actually came up with this idea of a roundtable discussion sort of thing. So we have a very simple game. I have a bunch of names or groups of people here for whom I'm going to ask a particular question, and I want you to tell me what a championship ring would mean for each one of these guys. That sound cool? Okay, cool. So Harsh, let's start off with the coach of Cleveland Cavaliers, David Blatt, of course, who brings tons of experience from Europe, but it's his rookie season, quote unquote rookie season in the NBA. What do you think a championship win would mean for Blatt?
I honestly don't think he deserves one for from every prospect, because I mean it's kind of like he's jumped on a fast moving train. I mean, which is the Cleveland Cavaliers. So it's sort of like, I mean, I don't think he'll deserve it. I actually think in terms of professionally, it's not gonna help him, because he's gonna win a ring before he really deserves it. Because I mean, we all know how Cleveland, if they win, how they win the ring. But having said that, you know what? It's gonna be a good experience for him. It's gonna like he's gonna like I think next year he's gonna get a good contract. He's gonna solidify himself. Like how Phil Jackson is in terms of like somebody who can manage egos. So not really a guy who can turn things around. But if he turns Cleveland around, then any super team will want a guy like him to manage the team's egos.
Karan, what do you think of?
My take, I agree with my brother that like it's not really his hard work that has taken the Cavs so far. Like we all knew that he'd probably be a pretty good coach, but no one expected that he'd be in the finals in his first year, because no one thought that Cleveland would have LeBron back. I have 2 points to make on this. Like, first of all, he could become the first coach to win both the EuroLeague and the NBA title. That's a pretty big deal. And
He's got
secondly,
sorry, Karan, he's got a bronze medal as well in Olympics with Russia.
That's
Yep,
right.
go on.
And secondly, I think it'd be more interesting, like, you know, to twist the question around a little bit. What would happen if he doesn't win a ring? Because all of a sudden, if the Warriors completely decimate the Cavs like the Spurs did to the Heat last year, it'll never be LeBron's fault. It'll be the coach's fault, you know. And the coach will take all the heat. And that'll be an interesting, you know, because I don't think LeBron and the coach have actually gotten along at all. Like they get the work done. You know, LeBron is the team's GM. My brother and I always joke about this. It's like he's the general manager. He decides what happens now to the Cavaliers. He's a puppet master. So it'll be interesting to see what will happen if they lose. Like, will he get fired? Will he lose his job? Who will they replace? Like, who's the guy that LeBron likes that they'll bring on? That'll be another topic for the offseason, I think.
Yeah, totally
Very
agree.
interesting.
I think that it also depends how if at all they do lose, how they lose, because if they lose in a like game seven tightly fought series, then probably there's not much of that case to make, you know, for GM LeBron to fire David Blatt. But I can tell you one thing, after having, you know, a team that I root for lose to David Blatt's team in a final last year, I don't think I can take it this time also, because
which team was that?
That was Real Madrid in the EuroLeague final.
The EuroLeague, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about the other rookie coach, Steve Kerr. Of course, like I'm sure any NBA fan who's followed the game of basketball for whatever period of time has some sort of affection to those Chicago Bulls teams from back in the 90s, unless, of course, you're a fan of the Pistons Bad Boys or something like that. But Steve Kerr is one of these guys who we think of as really experienced, really intelligent guy, and he's had the benefit of working with both Phil Jackson as well as Greg Popovich. So, Harsh, do you really think this dude is a rookie?
Steve Kerr has been the GM of Phoenix Suns, I think, the last couple of years, and he's been a NBA champion as well with Chicago Bulls. So, like, in terms of pedigree, I don't think he's a rookie coach, but I think he's got the pedigree to, like, you know, like, it doesn't matter. Like, I mean, I think it's just like a next you know, like, logical step in his NBA, like, you know, in his NBA journey to, like, win as a, you know, as a coach now. So, yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, I think it wouldn't seem like a shock to me. Like, you know, it would seem like a logical step for Steve Kerr to win a NBA championship as a coach.
And how vital do you think is it that it should happen this year? Like, what does the ring mean to him this finals?
You know, I think it's sort of like a, I think, change of the guard in the NBA now. Like, I mean, you're seeing all the new teams and all the old, you know, like the old teams like Chicago Bulls and, I mean, not Chicago Bulls, but the Celtics and the Lakers and the usual champions haven't, like, you know, obviously the conference finalists this year, all the four teams, Atlanta Hawks and Houston Rockets and Cleveland and, you know, Golden State. Neither of them have won since the last 20 years. So, yeah. You know, from that perspective, like, it's sort of like a change of guard. So, you know, I welcome that change, that, you know, there's new coaches coming in and there's new players, you know, winning championships.
Yeah, Karan, what do you think?
I mean, with Steve Kerr, it's insane to think that this is actually his first year coaching. Like, he seems to have been around NBA forever. And yeah, this guy, I mean, he's one of those basketball brains. Like, yeah, he's kind of excelled in everything.
TNT,
like,
analyst, yeah.
He was an analyst. He's won championships as a player. He's been a pretty good GM, you know. And now he's coached a historical juggernaut. Like, we have to give him credit for, because Mark Jackson was a pretty decent coach. And with the exact same team, they finished 6th or 7th in the West last year. And Steve Kerr had the balls to basically put have the two highest paid players in this team on the bench the whole season. You know, David Lee barely ever plays, and Draymond
Green really?
Starting. He's really changed the dynamics, and, like, it's not just the tactical stuff that he's getting right. This is one of the happiest teams I've ever seen. You know,
yep.
Like, they all know their role. They know what they're doing. They like each other. And for a team to be elite offensively and defensively, it's they play like the Phoenix Suns but with defense. You know, I'm talking about the old Phoenix Suns. It would just add a ring would just add another big shine to his, you know, already glittering trophy cabinet.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that Steve Kerr, it's only a matter of time, if not this year, he's going to eventually, you know, coach a team to championship glory. And I think I would like to agree on what you said in Golden State being one of the happiest teams. I think that it's a widely underrated fact that, you know, ex-players becoming coaches, especially of the mold of Steve Kerr, I think it means a lot to players. People crib about ex-players getting easy jobs and all that, but I think it matters a lot.
Kaushik, just to interrupt, sorry, you know, if it's not that easy that even if you are an NBA player and champion, that you're going to make a good coach. You know, like, I think if you see Patrick Ewing, he's been Orlando Magic assistant coach and he's never been promoted. And so has been, you know, I think Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wanted, he's only got like a offensive post-offense, you know, like assistant coach with the Lakers for the longest time. So, you know, it's not that easy, you know, even if you're like a champion to have a senior position as a coach.
Absolutely, absolutely. And when you talk about teams that have historically won NBA titles, a lot of them, it goes down to having very, very good and effective and deep benches. And I think that when you think about benches and role players, if you take a look at the season that Warriors have had, and if you take a look at specifically the postseason that the Cavaliers have had, I think the role players have stepped up huge. Of course, you have your Steph Curry and LeBron James leading the way, but you have guys like Draymond Green, you have guys like J.R. Smith, and Iman Shumpert. Sorry,
True, true.
Karan, once again, you know.
I know. Ex-Knicks just sprinkled all over the place.
Ex-Knicks.
And by the way, Steve Kerr had a choice between being a Knicks coach and the Warriors coach.
So
So
instead of.
he may have made the right decision, let me just say.
True that.
And, you know, basically he's playing the job that he took up against. He's basically playing LeBron James and the Knicks in the finals, right?
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's LeBron James and the Knicks. Oh, God.
Which set of role players do you guys like more? So on one side you have J.R. Smith, Iman Shumpert, Tristan Thompson, like bunch of guys who play with a chip on their shoulder, and on the other side you have such depth, such experience. Like they play Golden State bench players, I think they play with such swagger. What do you guys like and dislike about both benches? Let's go with you, Karan.
I mean, let's talk about what a ring would mean to these guys, right? Like some of the bench players a lot more experienced in terms of like NBA stardom. Like both David Lee and Iguodala have been all-stars. Andrew Bogut was the number one pick. I mean, he's not a bench player, but you know, he's not considered even he's considered a role player on this team, and he was the number one pick. You get guys like Leandro Barbosa, who've been far in the final before. Shaun Livingston, what a story for somebody to break his leg in that horrific manner and then be Steph Curry's backup, you know, and do really well at it. Harrison Barnes is one of the most improved shooters in this. I mean, the Warriors have the star names and they're performing. The Cavs bench players have seriously pleasantly surprised me. You know, we'll get on J.R. Smith later. I think he deserves his own
He
conversation.
deserves his own
He deserves his own
podcast.
podcast. But the ex like Shumpert and Mozgov and Tristan Thompson was an offensive rebounding wizard. Matthew Dellavedova was the world's biggest villain, but you need a guy like that. Every team needs Dellavedova, you know. I think it's playing with LeBron. All of these guys get better. This is what LeBron is one of his, probably one of his most underrated strengths, that Williams an all-star, you know. So he could make Shumpert an all-star. Look, I will not be surprised if that happens. So it's interesting to see which bench will take it.
Right, true.
Harsh, what do you think about both these benches and what a ring would mean to them?
Let's start off with again with the Golden State Warriors. I mean, not the bench, but let's say the role players, as in
Role players,
anything with the
right.
Splash Brothers. So you have Harrison Barnes, who has, like, you know, he's been I think North Carolina. He's been a North Carolina product, and you know he's very athletic, very like tantalizing talent. Never really like in terms of statistically, never really could really shine. I think only like 14, 15 points per game max. So
Can I just interrupt you? Like, I actually believe Bob Barnes, if he was in a team where he's the number one option, he can be a 20 point scorer. He can be a 25 and 5 guy from day
Yeah,
one. He has the
you've
talent.
been riding the Harrison Barnes bandwagon for as long as I can remember.
So Harrison Barnes, yeah, you know, a lot of talent. Again, I mean, as Karan said, that, you know, I mean, that's the depth of Golden State, that, you know, these guys are like, somebody, I was reading it somewhere, and they were comparing the Golden State Warriors to, the T-1000 in Terminator 2. So basically, they were comparing them to that, you know, they're so like flexible and moldable that, you know, if you try to puncture them one way, they come back and they hit you in an they just formless. Like they're like, you know, they play small ball, they can play big ball, and they can just the
So
parts keep shifting. You don't even know how they're acting.
are you saying LeBron is the Terminator? Is that what you get? Is that what's gonna stop
Yeah,
the
he's the
demon?
Terminator and the John Connor. He's everything rolled in one.
Oh God, this is amazing. Let's talk about J.R. Smith. I know the guy who deserves his own podcast, but unfortunately, he's only going to get like a 2-3 minute segment here. Karan, let's start with you because Jaya Smith, you have a love-hate relationship with this guy, if I may say so.
I mean, who doesn't have a love-hate relationship with J.R. Smith? And my brother and I have been honestly arguing about J.R. Smith since the early Nuggets days. You know,
Oh
like he was
God.
always the guy who was like, man, like I remember watching this one game, bro. I don't know if you remember this for the Nuggets. He just went off of 42 in, you know, 25 minutes. Like he
Yep,
just
eleven,
made
eleven
it
threes. Eleven threes,
something.
something crazy.
Something insane like that, and this is next to Carmelo Anthony, and we were just like,
Yep.
wow, like this guy has so much talent. But then he went to China and he's starting fights in China, you know. So he's the ultimate paradox, you know. And I guess we should thank the lack of Cleveland's nightlife for J.R. Smith's resurgence. Bro, what do you think about J.R.? Like, obviously you're liking him right now. Do you think this will last? And what will it mean for J.R. Smith to have a championship ring?
God, man,
Guys,
I
J.R.
think.
Smith is an NBA Finals.
Yeah, I you know, honestly, it's very difficult to imagine. Like, I mean, you know how his. You know, I actually always believed in
Who always
J.R. I
liked
always
him?
felt that he had the talent. You know, I always believed in
Really?
his
He had the
talent.
talent. He had the
He
talent, no
has the
doubt.
talent. You know, he. I think at his best, I think in terms of athleticism and creating his own shot, even 3-point, like, you know, he's streaky as they come. And if he could play
He
a
doesn't
little
like
little
taking easy
bit
shots.
more. There's no shot which J.R. Smith doesn't like. You know, that's what Karan keeps saying.
The wide
So
open shot, that's what he doesn't like.
yeah, he doesn't like the
Yeah.
wide open easy shots. He said that
He
recently.
likes the difficult shots.
Yeah.
Can you imagine like the parties he would have? Like if he wins the championship ring, I don't think he plays an NBA game again. Like he's gonna party his ass off. Like he'll just be like, I'm done. Like I don't need to be back in the NBA.
You know, I keep, you know, he's sort of become like the face of the Cleveland Cavaliers. If you see the, you know, the podium finish, you know, the press, the, you know, when the press conferences they're having, and they're having LeBron and Tristan Thompson with J.R. Smith. And, you know, J.R. Smith has sort of, and I think you got to credit LeBron for that. He's become like sort of the face of the Cleveland Cavaliers. If you see there, like, you know, he's become the name everywhere. Like, you know, and I think that credit goes to LeBron as well for allowing it to happen. You know, I don't know. What, Karan, have you seen that?
I mean, yeah, it's he's they're taking selfies together. Obviously, LeBron likes having his friends. Like he likes playing with guys who are his, and I think he loves sort of making a distinction between guys who are boys, Team LeBron, like my best friends, you know, and Kevin Love is not a part of this apparently,
He likes
but that's all.
the and
Kaushik, what do you think about J.R. Smith's potential championship celebrations? Maybe what if he races LeBron to the Finals MVP trophy? Trap question. Not out of
No.
the question. Just saying.
You know how if like some Indian gets drafted into the NBA, both of us will have like the greatest butter chicken party ever, right? So if J.R. Smith was Indian, he'd have a party that's bigger than ours. That's how much it would mean to him. And it's unbelievable to even think of the fact that he's going to be a major important star player in the NBA Finals. But if he wins one, it's going to be insane. It's going to be the next greatest thing after Meta World Peace's championship.
Yeah, true, true. It's gonna be the same level.
If JR wins the ring, I think we should all for the next like at least for the off season just only take bad shots on the basketball court in like ode to JR Smith. Like just to pay respect to him, we should not take any more easy shots for the summer. That's
Absolutely. And I'll put myself through watching My Name is Earl again because Yeah. You brought up Kevin Love just a few moments ago, Karan. Let's talk about Kevin Love. This dude, it's been a weird season for him. He wanted out of Minnesota. He got into LeBron's team, and he's been a bit of a third banana for as long as he was there. And after his injury, and think of it from his perspective, he's supposed to be like one of the two, three best players in the team, and he's not played, and these guys have somehow gotten better after that and gone to the finals. Do you think that a win for Cleveland or a loss for Cleveland matters to what Kevin Love feels about himself, how it affects it? Let's talk about his future a little later, maybe. How does this season compare for somebody who's supposed to be so important, so big, but marginalized so much that Do you think he'll celebrate if Cleveland wins? Harsh, let's take your take on this.
Sorry?
Could you hear that?
Do you think
yes,
Kevin
yes.
Love will celebrate if Cleveland win the championship? Like, what would be
That's funny.
what would it mean to him?
Not a lot actually. Like, I think his confidence would go down. But I think you know what I would imagine that if I think if they win, there's a chance. I think he would just sign just to prove that he belongs. He might just take a pay cut and sign back with Cleveland just to show that he belongs in the team. I think that could be the that could be the one thing. I mean, if he really wants to put his ego aside, so I think it could be good for Cleveland. I think so.
I mean, if he wins, he has a ring. Like, even without playing, he's he can take credit for the fact that he did average 16 points a game or whatever for the season, and they did finish second in the East kind of because of him. So we can't say that he did not aid in this championship victory. He just did not aid them as much as they thought he would.
As much as he thought he would.
Yeah. I don't think whatever happens, I don't think he's staying in Cleveland. I think he's done. I think...
Yeah, same here.
Like, it's just too much of a bad fit. And then, like, LeBron calling him out passively, aggressively on Twitter. And just, like, everyone in Cleveland kind of realizing that they are working better without him. Even though, on paper, a LeBron-Love thing sounded incredible, it hasn't worked out because I don't think the personalities match. And I think with LeBron, you have to be... Like, LeBron can't play with somebody he hates. Like, Kobe and Shaq hated each other, but on court, they made magic, you know? I don't think LeBron can do that. I don't think he's comfortable playing with guys he... Hate is a strong word for that, but just somebody that he doesn't completely fit in with.
Yeah, besides, I think if you take a look at how Kevin Love was used in the whole season, right? I think he's way better than just being a spot-up outside big.
Yep.
I think he can post up,
he
can
needs
rebound.
His touches. Yeah, he needs his touches.
He needs his touches. I think he's gone. Whether he comes to your Knicks, Karan, or my Lakers, I don't think it'll happen. But let's
see. I don't
think
those are happening.
Yeah, hypothetically, what do you think? What do you think is the best fit for him?
I think he's going to go to Boston. I feel that is. But I heard I was listening to Jalen Rose podcast today, and Jalen knows things. Like he happens to make these predictions which magically happen to be right. And he brought up a very interesting team. He said that that Kevin Love is most likely going to end up in the Houston Rockets. He thinks
but
the Rockets have.
That'd be the same thing, right? Same, almost the same thing as going to Cleveland because he's not going to get the ball at all. And
well,
they're going to make him a three-point shooter only. I don't think he'll do that, like on his own effort.
Well, the point that Jalen brought up was that Houston, George Smith actually had took the second most amount of shots for this team in the playoffs. You know, like he was the second most, he had the most attempts. So
that's because he doesn't pass. He
that's
just brings the ball up and shoots.
I mean, I think with they have been targeting for a guy like Love for a long time. They've been with Chris Bosh, they've been targeting LaMarcus Aldridge, and Kevin Love is just going to be like the elite guy to play next to Dwight Howard. Like that would be a very good fit next to Harden. And I mean, I don't think it will happen. I don't think Love will do it, but Jalen Rose knows things.
Jalen Rose is just giving the people what they want.
Yeah.
Hush, what do you think is the best fit for Kevin Love next season?
I don't know. I think Kevin Love has been sort of exposed, like in terms of like he's like, you know what, the Minnesota, you know, the front office, you know, when they let him go, I think Flip Saunders and, Kevin McHale. I mean, these guys, you know, when the Minnesota, but when the Minnesota front office let him go, I think they kind of hinted that he's sort of like a stat getter in a bad team. And, I honestly think that Andrew Wiggins is already a better... he might not be getting the crazy numbers which Love gets, but, he sort of already seemed like a bigger winner than him. So, if you look at it from that perspective, I think Kevin Love belongs in a team which is starred for, some star who could just come in. You know, I don't know. Like, I think Nets would like to take him. The Nets always like to take a big contract. I think Knicks, maybe, Knicks might be interested. Your Knicks, they always like the big. I think 76. How about Philadelphia 76? So they would love to take somebody like who could put up 25 points per game. So there's certain options are there. But I won't worry. I'm not worried about Kevin Love. I'm worried about what happens in the finals. I mean, that's the least of my worries right now.
and Kaushik, I just want to like remind something, and this will lead us on to the next topic very smoothly. Kevin Love, before he got traded to the Cavs, he was almost traded to the Warriors, remember, for Klay Thompson and I think David Lee and somebody else. And
Nice
they did
cycle,
not
yeah.
do that. Steph and Klay became All-Stars, and the turning point was if Love had been in Golden State, Draymond Green would not have become Draymond Green. He wouldn't have started. And
Absolutely.
they would not have become the offensive defensive elite team that they did become. And I think we
Yeah.
should talk now about Draymond and Klay, the two guys whose stardom depended on Kevin Love not showing up in Brooklyn.
True,
It's
true, true.
unbelievable how much of an impact Draymond Green has had. I personally don't like the guy. I find him really annoying, but I can see why, you know, people would love to have such a guy on their team. And he's that classic dude who infuriates everybody else, but is loved by his teammates and his fans. And I think he's gonna have a really, really massive impact. I don't think Tristan Thompson gets as easy rebounds because this dude is gonna be tuned in on Thompson.
Yep,
He's gonna
yep.
be he's gonna be tuned in on stopping LeBron James if he has to. And he could be massive. Harsh,
Kaushik,
are you worried?
I'm actually I was gonna just concur with what you were saying that you know this Draymond Green the his in terms of he's such a his versatility is so like valuable. It kind of it's like the ace card. It's what allows the Golden State Warriors to play small ball. Like he's like
Correct.
6'5" and he plays power forward
He
and
plays center
he's
sometimes.
center. Yeah, so
That's
he sort
crazy.
of. And he sort of takes on everyone. Like he takes the team, other team's shooting guard, and he'll take their center and power forward. And like he's what allows them to play small ball. And I, you know what? I actually, you know, forget Tristan Thompson. I actually think that they might the real key would be them shifting Draymond to on LeBron. And I think that could be a series changer because if he can guard him, that's a huge headache which he'll be solving for his team. What's your turn?
I don't think there's the Warriors have that one guy. You know how like every time Kawhi would enter the game, you could see like LeBron
Yep.
getting nervous. Like I remember there was a little video that was like LeBron's like, oh shit, this guy's back in the game. You know,
Yep.
so there's no one guy like that. Andre Iguodala is decent, Harrison Barnes is decent, but those two, and Draymond Green is a really good post defender, but he's not going to be elite as a perimeter defender. But
Yep.
so with LeBron, you have to guard him by committee, and the Warriors do a pretty good job of defending by committee. So I think, I mean, I like Draymond. I think everyone would like to have a guy like that in your team, and he, in my opinion, deserved to be Defensive Player of the Year this year. And he did not get that, but I think if he wins a championship, he's going to be the X factor. Like it'll be what he does, like how much of a jump he makes. Might be the difference between the Warriors and the Cavs winning.
That is
True,
true.
true, true.
You touched upon a good point there that they don't particularly need one guy to stop LeBron. They'll put Barnes on him for some time, they'll put Iguodala on him for some time. If he goes down into the post, they have Draymond Green as well. I think that could be really huge.
I mean, they could even put Klay and, you know, like Klay Thompson's a pretty decent perimeter defender
Yeah.
too. So they have a lot of pieces like that.
Yep, exactly. Let's talk about Klay Thompson. He's not had the greatest of, you know, Western Conference Finals, but I think you can attribute a little bit of that to him chasing Harden all around and probably leaving him gassed in the offensive end. But he doesn't have to do anything like that against the Cavaliers. So do you think that, you know, he could have a big series current?
Well, yeah, I agree with you in one sense that he doesn't have someone like Harden to defend. And the trick with defending the opposing shooting guards for the Cavs are Shumpert is decent offensively. J.R. Smith, it doesn't matter what defense you play on him. Like he's good.
Yeah.
Honestly, like he's either gonna he's defended by himself and himself alone. Like there's no
True, 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 true.
he could still make that shot. So Klay has been he's deep for a breakout. He hasn't had that, you know, classic Klay moment in the playoffs yet where I predicted that he's gonna have at least one game where he has a 20-25 point quarter.
Yep.
And that hasn't happened yet. For them to win a championship, he needs to be at the top of his game. And now we don't even know if he'll play game one because he got the concussion.
Concussion.
So that's a biggie. He's the team's second best player, and actually both the best player a bit iffy, Kyrie Irving as well. So health is gonna kind of matter now as we go. Bro, what do you think about like Klay's like Klay could become an NBA champion, as like, you know, we never thought that he'd become this good. Like he was just supposed to be just a shooter. He's now like he's an all-star. Like he could be a second best player in a very good champion. What do you think that adds to his legacy?
I think it adds a lot, like it catapults him into the big league. Like all of a sudden, like you talk about James Harden, as the best shooting guard in the game right now. And I think after that, it's sort of like an open field as to who the second best is, with Kobe and Dwayne Wade, going into the background. I think
No, don't
that's
do that
yeah, my friend, Father Time waits for none. So,
Except Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan deserves like a father type.
So yeah, I think I think he would just add to his legacy. Like he's sort of like I think he found his fit with Steph Curry and with Steve Kerr, and like free flowing offense. He sort of reminds me of Rip Hamilton, but I think he's got more range than him. Like he's got more range, and he's like, I mean, I remember him, how much he scored, like 33 points
He had
in
a
that one quarter.
37 point quarter.
Yep,
Insane. Who
37
does
points,
that?
insane.
You can't
Crazy.
even do that in NBA 2K15.
Yes, you can't do that in. Yeah, so it was crazy what he did. Like, I mean, it was so, like, I keep seeing those highlights every now and then, and it sort of reminds me of the latent potential. Yeah, you can't leave Klay alone on the perimeter at all. Like, I mean, if you remember last year, the Miami Heat, the kind of suffocating defense at full court press of a defense they played, the Spurs made them pay. Gerald Green,
Danny
the
Green,
guys, look,
yeah,
Danny
Danny
Green,
Green,
and
yeah.
there's another couple of awesome shooters which the Spurs had, and
Patty
you
Mills.
couldn't Patty Mills, yes. So you couldn't leave these guys. These guys made the Heat pay last year for playing over committing on defense. And I think if same goes here. I mean, if Cleveland start to play similar sort of suffocating defense, and they start to so I think from that perspective, like if there's a lot of ball movement with Golden State, you could see a lot of open shots for Klay Thompson.
Yeah, I think the one of the things that make Klay Thompson such a vital asset is he's not just a shooter. When he takes it inside, when he drives in, he's pretty useful. When he posts up, he's pretty useful. So I think given the fact that he's not going to particularly have a de facto defensive assignment that'll tire him out, or whether he's not going to have somebody who's going to be, on him all the time, I think he can be pretty big. But like you said, Karan, there's also a second best player on the other team that is going to have an interesting, career legacy defining sort of series this time. Kyrie Irving is somebody that was always thought of until the beginning of this season as probably one of those stats guys on a bad player, bad team, and so on. But he had a different role with the US team this summer, and I think he showed that he could really take over in the biggest of stages, and he showed that in flashes in both playoffs as well as the regular season earlier. If he's even like remotely fit, I think that's going to be a problem for Golden State Warriors.
True, true.
I, you know, it's interesting because I do agree. Kyrie is an unbelievable talent. Like the stuff he can do, very few guys can do. Like he can. His shooting stroke is incredible, and that 57-point game against the Spurs was just in, like one of the most, outside of the Splash Brothers, the best 3-point shooting performances
Yes.
in the regular
Yep,
season.
yep, yep, yep.
But
Against the Spurs,
it's
that's
such
what
an
the
interesting
Spurs.
against Spurs. But with Kyrie, with the Kyrie LeBron fit in Cleveland is very interesting to me because, Kyrie has taken a lot of load off LeBron in the regular season. LeBron is actually playing at a very high level now because he didn't have to work as hard in the regular season. Kyrie kind of carried them equally almost. But what's happened now is that the last 4 or 5 games with Kyrie hobbled and hurt, LeBron is playing like his high school team again. Like he is in his element, and there's no one stopping the ball. Like with Kyrie, you kind of he's not gonna be just like a
Ball
standstill
stop.
shooter. He wants to like dribble. He's got an incredible crossover, and that stuff helps in certain situations against, I feel, teams that would play isolation ball. But against this, teams like the Warriors, which don't do that, I think it might actually hurt them if Kyrie is trying to do too much in a weird way, you
True,
know?
true, 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 true.
What Kyrie will be useful for is they need someone to tire Steph Curry out. Like, because you want Steph Curry to work his ass off on defense,
Correct.
so he's tired offensively.
I was getting to that. I think that the real key is not so much what Kyrie does as a scorer, but what Kyrie does as a, you know, like as a somebody who keeps Steph Curry like engaged.
And I mean, a ring would mean so much to him too, because like he was rookie of the year, but he spent the next 3 years or so basically being hurt a lot. He's hurt all the time. And I think a lot of people, like, he for the until this season, as Kaushik you said, he kind of fell from like people didn't rate him too highly because they just thought, you know, good stats, bad team guy. And I think he's having a champion against your name, that ring against your name, like completely changes. Doesn't matter if you haven't changed at all, but the public perception completely changes. And for Kyrie, if he's able to be the second best player in the finals for the Cavs, that'll be huge for him.
True,
Yep,
true.
yep, true.
So the three of us, right? We don't live in any of these NBA cities that are in the finals now. The city of Cleveland, of course, butt of many, many jokes in all TV shows and movies and whatnot for not ever winning a sports trophy. And we also have the Bay Area, which I believe hasn't seen an NBA title in about 40 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Bill
And
Walton got them one, I think. In this, in the, nee,
oh
not, not, not Bill Walton.
no,
That was the
it was
Portland.
Rick Barry.
Okay,
Bill
many years ago.
Walton was Rick
Yep.
Barry.
Yep.
So what do you think the ring means to both these cities? Harsh, let's start with you.
I think Golden State, you know, in terms of like the fan base, in terms of like the loyal fan base they have. Golden, like, you know, they went through the Donnie Nelson era, and they're going, I mean, obviously they've gone through, they've always been an offensive juggernaut, like always been one of the most exciting, along with like the Mavericks and the Suns. They
Yep.
have been, you know, and I think right now OKC is in the same conversation. I think they are always one of the most exciting teams, one of the most loyal fan bases. I think that's it's where the Silicon Valley is. So, sort of, if you put all those things together, I think it means a lot for the city of Golden State, you know, in terms of, I think they've got the biggest Asian population as well, of any city in the US. So,
Oakland, or San Oakland, San
if you look
Francisco,
at all
yeah.
of those things into. So, if you look at all of those things together, I think from that perspective, I think Golden State has a lot to, I think, catapult itself into the national map, in the American map, you know, in terms of, you
Yeah.
know, just having that pedigree. A championship pedigree.
What about Cleveland though? These guys have been earning for a
My God,
yearning
I
for a
think
title
oh
for
my
a
goodness,
long
I think
time.
it would be the best. Like, it would be honestly, if Cleveland wins a title, I and you know, it's one thing LeBron winning a title, you know, LeBron, but Cleveland winning a title, Cleveland Cavaliers, man, seriously, especially after, you know, the shot and, you know, all the problems which they faced. There was a fumble, I think, in football. I think I don't really follow American football, but I think there's a fumble as well, in which somebody in the national championship game, they fumbled the ball. So you know, I think in terms of the kind of curse of Cleveland which they have, and in terms of what all has transpired to them over the last 4 or 5 years, from that angle, I think it would mean so much to that team. I mean, seriously, like, I mean, like, I don't know, like, I mean, and especially from when LeBron left them with the decision, it would mean a lot, you know, it would mean a lot to the team.
Yeah, I especially given the how the team has come around after a not so great start, right? I think that this, if they do end up winning, it could be one of like the greatest sports stories ever, and it'll be pretty amazing. So, Karan, what's your opinion on both these fan bases, and what a title would mean to them?
I mean, yeah, with Cleveland, I agree with you guys. Just to have somebody who's, you know, from Ohio, is the best player in the league, like, is considered by many to be one of the, like, biggest names in the sport of basketball. To be from there, to be drafted by them, like, break their heart and leave, and then come back and deliver them a championship, like, that is an incredible chain of events to happen. And it would, and for especially to a city which has been, which loves the sports but hasn't won anything, and a basketball team that has, like, if you look up Cleveland basketball history, there is not that much to talk about except until LeBron James showed up. I know that they had, like, some good teams in the 80s, but they never went they never went even to the conference finals with those teams, I think.
They're sort of like the how the
So.
Bucks are like. I mean, you know how the Bucks are like, never really relevant, like really soft, and you know, like sort of like a
team which nobody, in, especially in the Eastern Conference, if you're like a middling team in the East, which never has won anything, like honestly, you're like stuck nowhere. Like, you know, like Washington Wizards, at least they are the capital of the United States. So, you know, at least they have that thing going. But like, you know, like Bucks, seriously, nothing going
for even them. The Bucks, at least they had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and they had that one championship 40-something years ago.
Yep,
like
yep,
Cleveland
yep.
doesn't even have that, you know, so... Yeah. And then to get it from LeBron, like who's like from nearby, who's from the same state, that'll be a great story. And then the Oakland, the Bay Area, I mean, those fans are incredible, as we all know. And I think 3 or 4 years ago, they were booing the owner because they just thought it was just too many mistakes. And now they are the toast of the world. I think... that team, the way they play, and that city is an international city. I mean, you know, that area is international. And they are primed to become a world-famous team. Like, they could be as popular, you know, as any, like, as a basketball team as any has ever been. If they can have a legacy, because it's a big market, and they'll be successful.
Yeah. I won't say they're a very big market, but like, I mean, it, like, just let's imagine how big it would be for Dan Gilbert to win a ring. I mean, honestly, after what he wrote, after the letter, like the post-decision letter, in terms of
in
that...
In Comic Sans.
Imagine LeBron and Dan Gilbert hugging each other after, you know, in the championship, you know, the post-championship. You know.
I don't think even Cleveland fans want to see Dan Gilbert celebrating. They're like, no, okay, we're okay with it.
Yeah.
You know what? When LeBron wrote that letter of coming back to Cleveland, I kind of fell for it. You know, I wanted that story to happen.
Oh, come on, please. I mean,
give me a second. It's got to happen. Okay, it's got to happen for a perfect story. But what I want is not for it to happen so easily. I think that it should not happen in the first year, right? He's got to go through some pain, and he's got to. When it happens, it should be. It should be even more relevant. So I think that for that particular reason, I'm among many other reasons, I'm going to be rooting for Golden State Warriors. But let's talk about the two main guys, the current MVP and the former multi-time MVP, both born, I believe, in the same hospital. That's what your tweet said,
yeah,
Karan, right?
Yeah, yeah. What a crazy story! What a crazy story! Yeah. We should all have our children in that hospital.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Future NBA MVP.
So, Karan, what do you think a ring would mean for... Let's start with Steph Curry. LeBron James. LeBron James needs a few more minutes specifically to talk about his legacy and whatnot. But Steph Curry, this is massive, right? Because here's a dude who's not big, not muscular, but... Basically, nobody can stop him.
Yeah, I mean, Steph he's already, I believe, he's like the best shooter ever. That's mantle from Ray Allen and Reggie Miller. And then to be yeah. an MVP and when he wins the championship, to be a final MVP in the same year, which is, I mean, if that happens, very few people have had that kind of a year. To be in a 65-win team where he's MVP, wins the finals MVP, he breaks all sorts of crazy three-point records. He was the leading vote getter, so he's also the most popular player in the NBA now at the All-Star game. And he's just what you said. He looks so frail, but I think Kaushik, your favorite player, Mr. Black Mamba, tweeted this about Steph Curry, is that the shots that you want Steph to take are the shots he's comfortable with. So
yes.
How do you stop this guy? And I think if he wins a ring, he becomes one of the most unreal stories of like a guy who went from being not even an All-Star until MVP, a champion, and Finals MVP. Like that's such a ascent for somebody. From it's kind of unprecedented. I feel like nobody thought Steph would be this good this quickly.
Yep. Harsh, what do you think a championship means to Steph?
Oh my goodness! Like it's sort of like you didn't see it coming. Like you know, when we were talking, me and Karan would always talk about who's the next. You know, like and I think after LeBron and Carmelo that draft, you know, we kept looking at what's next. And then you know, we saw Durant coming in, and then we saw Blake Griffin and John Wall. Sort of, yeah. Steph Curry got lost.
Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis. Yeah.
Steph Curry was always lost in the shuffle. He was good. You know, even James, you know, I thought James Harden was better than him. I mean, there was so much mm-hmm. like he was just one of the many good guys, you know, like who was good. But I think there was always something about his game. I think the fact that you could never imagine him dominate the game, because he was never like, you know, you can be small, but you can be like Derrick Rose and John Wall. Like, you're super athletic and you can get like, you yes. know, double digit rebounds and, you know, like you can just run the break and finished on dunks and everything. But he was not that guy. And he never got like even double-digit assist as well. Like, he was not the Steve Nash sort of like, you know, the floor general who could like, you know, just have the fanatic, you know, like the game where, you know, you're dishing double-digit assists. So he was like, and all of a sudden he has a different blueprint for how he dominates the game, which is like, I don't think we've ever seen anything like that. Like, honestly, I mean, me and Karan, we keep talking about it, and we have never seen a shooter of Steph's class. I mean, with no disrespect to, you know, I think Kevin Durant's one of the best ever. I think Reggie Miller and Ray Allen have been one of the best ever. But Steph Curry has, I think he has single-handedly changed the way people look at three-point shooting.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you put a four-point line, this dude will be the greatest ever four-point line shooter as well.
He broke the record for most three-pointers in the playoffs with, like, I think I forgot what the exact numbers were. I think 14, Reggie Miller did
14 games. Reggie did in 22.
Reggie
games.
Did in 19. Yeah, yeah, and he still has a series to go.
Number.
So like, he's the more three-point oriented. And Steph Curry is the face of that future all of a sudden, you know? Nobody could see this coming.
Absolutely. I think he's gonna inspire a lot of kids to, you know, who might think that, okay, maybe I'm not tall enough, maybe I'm not athletic enough, but hey, like, if I can shoot like Steph Curry, I can make it to the league. I think that's gonna be huge even if he wins the league.
I just want to add to that, in terms of like, you know, him being the all-star NBA all-star, highest vote getter, and I think he's got the highest selling jersey also in the NBA. And, you know, this was coming from Brian Windhorst, who's been a big LeBron, you know, the biggest, who's been covering LeBron since he was, you know, like in high school, and he knows everything about LeBron. He was the first one to admit that, you know, the new league, the new NBA fan base belongs to Steph Curry. Steph Curry's got their pulse. Like, I mean, his baby face, he's so relatable. Like, he's like the guy next door. He's sort of like the guy next door, basically. Like, you know, he's got the baby face. And I think he's sort of like a cultural phenomena, if you will. I think it would be very big for him to, you know, make that jump.
Yeah, and can we all agree that he's not even like the most cute thing in his house?
Oh, Riley Curry.
Yeah.
The video of her singing Blessings. Like, I can only listen to the song now in her voice. Like,
absolutely.
The original version, I'm like, no, I want the Riley Curry remix of Blessings.
I haven't seen that.
Oh.
Anyway.
You really have to.
Yep, I'll do that.
But I mean, for Steph, he'd have to go past another, let's just say, another phenomena, because Steph might not even be the best player in this series. You know, even though he's an MVP. The best player in this series is, drum roll,
LeBron James.
Yeah.
So, bro, I think we should start with you. Like, 6 finals, 4 MVPs, 2 championships. And, like, we're not even talking about all the times he's been, you know, close to being, like in the all-defensive team conversation. Whatever times he's been an all-star, blah, blah, blah. What would it mean for him to win his third ring in his 6th finals,
or lose his 4th finals in 6 attempts,
or lose his 4 and 6? Like, it's like, what do you think happens for him? Like, how big is this for him?
I think it's really, really, really big for him. I think more than any this one, because, you know, you sort of look at LeBron and you sort of like say his critiques will say that, you know, he's basically rode the Eastern Conference, you know, you call East the Eastern Conference. And you know how, like, there was a really crazy stat which Karan had put up on Facebook, which said that, you know, that how many 50 win teams have LeBron eliminated over his career. And there's, like, you know, if you look at Jordan and Kobe had 24,
Jordan had 19 or 20 and Duncan had 18 or 19. LeBron has only eliminated 750 win teams in his life from the playoffs. So that's like a, it's, you know, in terms of that, I mean, with no fault of his, I mean, if the East is so bad, but, you know, for him to win this thing, like, it would sort of like, I think he goes back, you know, in terms of like, I think it puts him in the, I don't know, it puts him in a real good league, basically, because all of a sudden you have him coming home as a prodigal son and winning a ring for his team, for his home team. Like, that should count as two rings to me, actually.
not if the entire playoffs has been the Eastern Conference. Come on.
Yep. So, yeah.
What do you think,
Kara? I mean, my defense of... let me go back earlier. Like, I, as you know, I'm not the biggest LeBron fan, but I do respect what he's done, obviously. If you had someone else, say Chris Paul was the best player in the East, you know, Chris Paul could have been made it to like three finals by now, you know. Yeah. That's my point. Like, he's, so I almost feel that for LeBron to, when he came to the NBA as the game changer, as the guy who's really, no one has seen this before, he could be one of the greats of all time, we almost now have to only judge him by what he does in the finals. Because, like, that's when he really is tested now, you know. And especially when the last 4 years, he teamed up with the guy who would have been his toughest opponent in the East, and that guy became his teammate. So, like, it all became about, okay, so what he does in the finals. So when he beat OKC, and when next year when they beat the Spurs in that epic 7-game series, I think that to me was like LeBron's apex. The Spurs got the revenge last year, and then this year, if he's able to win it, Golden State Warriors team, which is one of the greatest teams of all time, and if he does it with a hobbled Kyrie and no Kevin Love, and he does it for his hometown of Cleveland, like, it may not count in my eyes as two rings, as you say, bro, but I think in LeBron's eyes, like, this is the most important one for him. Like, it won't even matter if he doesn't win anything else, you know? Like, this would be
the most important thing
of his career.
I'll just add to this, Karan. I think he's going to, this year, in this final, I think he's going to give it all on the floor. Like, honestly, like, in terms of, you know, he knows how tough it is to get to this. I mean, I know he's been to 5 straight finals, but he knows that he's getting Father Time's, you know, catching up with him. And, you know, it was a very interesting study which was done by ESPN or Sports Illustrated, one of the two. And they spoke about how if you are the best player in the world, you still have, like, you know, your chances of winning a ring will significantly start to reduce, even if you're not the best anymore. Like, let's say mm-hmm. LeBron, you could make a case he's not the best player in the league anymore. So as soon as you hit that era where you're just a top 5 or maybe a top 7, your chances of winning a league, of winning a ring starts to, like, fall, you know, like at a very fast rate. Like, in terms, you know, like, let's say if you're the best player, your chances, let's say 30-35%, but if you, let's say, you know, if you were top 5, it all of a sudden your chances fall down to, let's say, 5 or 10%. So I think he knows that, you know, yeah, he can be back next year and he's not that old, but I think he's gonna give it all this year. I think he knows that Father Time is catching up with him.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that we are going to see one hell of an epic LeBron series from him. And to think about what this could do to his legacy, basically, he has defeated the entire Eastern Conference almost on his own, right? And if he can do that, carry that forward and win the title, it's going to be something else, especially to complete this whole comeback love story that he did with that letter and all that. But think about this, like, if he loses, right, he's
two for six.
Yeah, he's 2 for 6 in NBA titles. And while you could kind of make a case that even though he loses this is still one hell of a run from him, people are going to start to get against his case of, you know, being the greatest of all time. The greatest of all time doesn't make 2 out of 6. Like, even someone like Magic Johnson, who lost a lot of finals, he was like 5 for 9, and he always had like a 50% sort of ratio. So I think this can be really big one way or another for LeBron.
He's racing Michael Jordan like everyone else is in the ranks of the NBA's greatest players. But, and I joked with my brother, I messaged him like a
few weeks ago, he could all become the greatest finals loser since Jerry West. Like Jerry West, I think he lost like 8 or 9 finals before he finally won one. And like, I mean, you know, like LeBron could be the new era's Jerry West. The guy who gets to the finals but mostly loses. So it'll be an interesting thing. Bro, I want to ask you this. Where do you think it would rank? Where would rank in the pantheon of greatest ever players who wins this championship? If ranking just at the end of this year, we're not talking about end of his career. Where do you think he'll rank by the end of June if he has?
I think right now he's standing. I think I haven't done my. I mean, I every off season me and Karan Kaushik. This is just you know what we do is we get together. We make our NBA pantheon once again. You know, we get more perspective. And you know, even the older players, they keep their ranks keep shifting as we start to gain more perspective. So, I think right now LeBron is somewhere, I would say he's 10 or 11. I don't know, man. I think he's probably somewhere in 10, 11. I think Olajuwon is there and Wilt Chamberlain. I think he's right around Olajuwon and Wilt Chamberlain to me. Like, I mean, Wilt, I never held him too high. People had him as high as 3 or 4. But I think he's somewhere in the top 10. I think he's 10th, I would say. But if he wins this ring, I think it gets only harder. Like, I mean, you know, if he wins it for his home city one the same year he's back, it catapults him. Like, it's a mythical legacy which he starts to create for himself. And all of a sudden, when you start to see the narrative, it's then his ranking in the top 10, because it gets subjective after a while. So I think from that perspective, it'll I think he only has like a couple of spots to gain. He's not gonna get ahead of Duncan or Shaq. Or Kobe at the moment, not at all.
I was gonna get to that, Kaushik. Like, I also agree with my brother that Shaq and Duncan are another level higher.
Kobe,
but Kaushik, yeah. Do you think if LeBron wins this championship ring, would you rank him his all time greatness ahead of Kobe? Don't be biased.
Oh man, no, it's really difficult. It's really difficult not to. I still think that's a no. I still think that's a no because it gets very subjective, as Harsh said. You have to consider a lot of factors, and even if you're doing just an objective basis, right, it's still 3 and 5. So that's going to be my starting point until he reaches 5, then I'll find a new reason to put Kobe on top. But
to be honest, Bill Simmons wrote about this, that LeBron, his PER and the level of efficiency with which he played the last two finals which he won was better than anything which Kobe did. So NBA Finals MVP twice and in a much more dominating fashion than what Kobe did. So you know what, again, we're getting subjective, but you could throw that into the conversation as well.
I think for Kobe, except for the one regular season where he went crazy, had 81 points, averaged 35 or whatever a game, I don't think Kobe has had, like LeBron has had a lot more better regular seasons too. You know, like he just put a monster regular seasons as compared to Kobe, who kind of understood very early that like it is the playoffs, it matters more. And I think LeBron got that in Miami. Like once he was in the Heat, he started saving up his energy for the playoffs more often. Even though LeBron is so good that he could be in what he calls chill mode and he'd still be like one of the league's top three players. So like I think he would equal Kobe if he wins this championship.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a pretty big call.
Yeah, I'm going to have to cut you guys short because if we discuss LeBron, Kobe, Duncan, all these guys, we talk for like hours on together, but we have a podcast to finish. So I'm going to cut right to the chase, Harsh. Let's make a prediction. How many games, who wins, and who's going to be your finals MVP?
My goodness.
It's loaded, so you got to make some bold calls. If you want to have a timeout, we can go to Karan.
You know, Karan, you can go ahead first, man. Karan, I know what he's going to say, but you know, I still want some time to reflect. So, Karan, why don't you go ahead?
Totally.
my answer is going to come very easily because I've already written about it. So, it's like kind of already on the tip of my tongue. But I predicted the Warriors in 6 with Steph Curry winning the Finals MVP award. And my reasoning for that prediction is that, I kind of broke it down very rationally, like the teams have and have nots. And I think the Warriors are basically better in every single thing than the Cavs are. Like, they're better offensively, they're better defensively. They are, I think, a better rebounding team. They're a better passing team. They're a better shooting team. hi, sister-in-law. Speaking in the background. She's going to be in the podcast.
That was her contribution to the podcast.
Brilliant.
They have an incredible home base. They barely ever lose games in Oakland, in the Oracle Arena and
Rorikel.
in the Rorikel. But
Yeah.
out of respect for just singularly LeBron James, who's the only one, not only is he gonna be the best player in this series, but he's the only one who's played at this level in this series. Like, no other player has been here before, you know. So, and LeBron's been here a lot, so he can. We know now that he can hold his, like, cool under pressure situations, and he knows how to time himself. He knows when to peak, when to not, and he knows. Down 3-1, and you won't count him out. But if the Warriors are down 3-1, maybe we count them out, you know. And that's
Yep.
the so that's where I think I'll give Cavs. I think LeBron could take them to 2 wins, but overall, I think the positives that the Warriors have are just too much. It's about the they'll take care of LeBron and the Warriors,
Yeah,
the Cavs, I mean.
absolutely, absolutely. I think when you compare point by point, like what you said, offense, defense, rebounding, and when you even consider the fact that you could make a case that Cleveland hasn't played a team this good yet, and you don't know how they'll react. That's going to be an interesting perspective as well. And if you look at all those logical perspectives, right, it seems like Golden State Warriors is the clear favorite. But like you said, there's that guy, that LeBron James, who
LeBron
can
James.
single-handedly, LeBron James, yes, he can single-handedly turn this around. Like you said, 3-1. If Cleveland is by any chance up 3-1, I think when you think about even the Chicago Bulls series, right? That game winner in Game 4. I think if that didn't happen, maybe Chicago wins. But that kind of confidence dent that he can put, I think it can be really big. So Harsh, you've listened to both of our answers now.
Wait,
Do
what's
you
your
have?
answer? Kaushik, you didn't give your answer.
Oh, so I'm going Golden State in six as well.
I mean,
It's I think it's
okay, bro.
I think the MVP will have to be only one of Curry or LeBron. If I could even see us having a very unprecedented LeBron getting an MVP, even though Golden State wins, because I honestly think he's going to have like 550-point games or
By the
600-point
way,
games.
you know who else has done that? The only one to win Finals MVP as a loser? Also Jerry
Jerry
West.
West.
So.
Harsh, what's your final take on this?
Sorry, I got cut.
Okay, so give
Yeah.
us your prediction.
You know, I'm gonna the safe prediction. Obviously, I'm gonna go with that. Like, if I had to put my money on, I think Golden State takes it in six. And because I think the sheer reason what Kaushik has just said, and I think just ring a bell with me that Cleveland has not seen like they have been spoiled playing in the East, so they are not they're gonna be in for a shock. You know, at the pace at which the Golden State is gonna come at them, so that's gonna take. This, you know, Cinderella story by storm. You know, like, I mean, yeah, you have Tristan Thompson and you have J.R. Smith who have done a good job, and you got Timothy Mozgov as well, and Kyrie Irving. I mean, I don't know what version we will get, but you know, I just feel that it's going to be a shock for Cleveland at the pace which, you know, Golden State is going to play. LeBron is going to try to warn his team as to like what's the storm which is coming their way. But I think it's going to be too much for them to handle. I think it's going to be too much for them to handle. And but yeah, you know, again, I could so imagine LeBron. You know, this is the Cinderella scenario where LeBron just basically takes over. Like, he starts. You know how you remember Karan, how Dwayne Wade in 2006 he started to go to the free throw line against Dallas, and he's totally the game got stagnated. Basically, everything stopped. And then it was just Dwayne Wade, you know, hitting free throws. So I think I could see that kind of scenario where LeBron just decides to put his head down and drive to the rim every time, and he's big, he can handle the ball, and then that could be, you know, could really change the series. I mean, again, this is just an alternative scenario, but yeah, I think most probably Golden State takes it in six, and Steph Curry wins MVP.
Ooh, all right, guys. Thanks, Harsh, for joining us for this Really, really amazing discussion. I really feel like we could go on talking about hoops for another couple of hours, but I think we've got some limits when it comes to podcasts. So we're kind of letting
Kaushik,
go, but...
I was just wondering, have you guys thought of like what how would it mean to the Indian scenario for either if Steph Curry or LeBron wins the Golden State versus Cleveland? Like, what would mean to the Indian context? Or would it mean at all?
If Curry wins MVP, it's an Indian dish
yeah,
that wins
yeah,
MVP.
Steph Curry.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. It's just another excuse, man. I celebrate with Curry every day, so it's fine.
Yeah. No, but on a serious note, I think that it could inspire a whole generation to pick up this team, this Golden State team, and Steph Curry as their bandwagon team. And I think that at the time when telecast and stuff like that is exploding in India, we could really use some variety in teams that they support and not just Lakers, Bulls, Celtics, these kind of teams.
And you know, all of us have played a lot of basketball in India, and we all know guys like on who we play pickup ball with, guys who have very little skills except they can just shoot. Like, it doesn't matter what you do to them, they'll shoot. And they'll make that come from like crazy angles, and it'll be a victory for all of those guys who take stupid shots. Somehow they go in. And so
I actually think it'll not be very good for Indian basketball because Indians really love the 3-point shot anyway. And you know, it's like again, it's gonna give an excuse for people to not drive and you know just avoid contact and just you know do the Steph Curry 3-pointer, you know, chuck the ball 30 times a game.
There's a guy that me and my brother have played with a lot who we call the Jamal Crawford slash Smith. You know, Shetab. We call him that because
that's
his name. Like, he'll take the worst shots, and if they're going in, they're going in. Like, you can stop him, you know, 60% of the time, but they're just going to go in.
You have a point, Harsh, but I think we have this whole thing of Curry being brown people represented in more than one ways, and we got to roll with that story.
Yep.
All right.
Thanks a lot for joining us. We'll do this in the future again.
Yes, we'll have you.
Yeah,
we'll have you
it was
on
nice to have you.
Many thanks again.
Nice to talk to you. You know, let's stay in touch.
That was my older brother, and hope you guys enjoyed the banter and the trash that, like, these are what a lot of my family conversations are like. So. Now you got to see it on a public scale. You have a brother too, right, Kaushik?
Yeah, I have a younger brother too. We talk a lot of hoops as well. Okay. Our hoops rivalry it goes on from watching basketball to playing on PlayStation to sometimes even playing on the court. So it is pretty cool. It's always damn cool to have a younger brother who follows sports,
yeah,
especially
yeah.
both. You know, both football and basketball, we have the same idea of the sport, so it's amazing.
Yeah. Like with me and my brother, it's made us more competitive on court because like it's kind of we have to beat each other. It doesn't matter if like we don't do well with anybody else, we have to defeat each other is like the main thing. You know, we have to guard each other. Like we never get picked for the same teams because it's just like so we have to defend each other all the time, and it always becomes like it's always like a friendly rivalry. And I think
You know, I wanted to ask him while he was around, who wins in one-on-one between you guys?
You know, for the longest time, he did. Like, he was, he plays like, he thinks he plays like LeBron, because he loves LeBron, but he actually plays like Carmelo Anthony. Like, that's, in my opinion, that's his spirit animal. So, he's mm-hmm. jump shot, that like, very incredible mid-range shot, and then he can drive in, he can use his strength. But he doesn't defend that much, and he doesn't like... You know, he's not exactly a bomb mover. Like he'll stop the ball and he'll do that. So, but since he's not here to defend himself anymore, I think I'm better than him now. I think I can defeat him. So.
And nice. At least you have a chance with this guy. Unlike when you played Vishesh.
Oh yeah, exactly. Vishesh completely dominated me. So.
All right, guys. Unfortunately, that brings us to the end of this episode. We wanted to do a lot more stuff. We had tons of listener questions that are sent in, but if we get ready to do that and if we talk about it, we'll probably extend to 2 hours. We don't want to bore you for that long, but so we'll probably do that in the next episode. Maybe a standalone questions only episode. We'll think about it and we'll keep you posted on all of our feeds. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter. You can follow both Karan at Hoopistani and myself at _Kaushik7 on Twitter. Keep subscribing to our iTunes feeds, our SoundCloud feeds, our Libsyn feeds. We're all over the place. You just have to search for Hoop Darshan and you'll find us. Karan, thanks again for joining me, and thanks for having your brother on. It feels like I want to be at your family.
we quit everything to the NBA and basketball, so it gets a little bit annoying for my parents, I think, but you know, the deal with it.
All right. Cool. So until next week then, hashtag India Basketball.